going to look at that. And it's some interesting things. As I mentioned earlier, I went back and looked at where Paul got his inspiration and stuff, because it's pretty specific what he's telling them and teaching them. So he had some great instruction. So let me read 13 through 17, and then we'll cover what my notes and those who died in Christ. 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve, as indeed the rest of mankind do, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, he says again, therefore, comfort one another with these words. The hope that we have. So a few things there. First and foremost, is this is all based on the fact of Christ's resurrection. If it wasn't for Christ's resurrection, we wouldn't be talking about this. Now, we've had, it's been 2,000 years roughly, and a lot of people have come and gone. Upon the death of a believer, their body sleeps while their soul is with Jesus. And if you look at Philippians 1:23, Paul talks a little more about this, and he says, but I am hard-pressed from both directions. Both directions, what's he talking about? Well, he goes on. Having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. He understands his purpose and place. But he's talking about, you can either be here on earth or you can be with Christ. So hence, upon the death, the body sleeps, but the soul is with Jesus. Now, Paul also talks about in this section the four events. There's four events that he talks about. The first one, the return of Christ in the air, with the voice of an archangel Michael. Now, Michael's the only one that's has been named an archangel mentioned in Scripture. Jude 9 covers that. I put that in there for you. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him an abuse of judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So Michael is the only archangel that is mentioned in Scripture. And the voice of an archangel, Michael. And with the trumpet of God, 1 Corinthians talks about this, 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that is quick, twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed. The hope we have. Paul is letting them know what's about to come and the hope that they have. Now, second point in verse 15, the resurrection of the dead in Christ. Those who believe, obviously, have accepted Christ. Obviously, those that have fallen asleep, those that have passed, And this all occurs through Christ, through Jesus. And then comes the rapture. The rapture is of living believers, verse 16. Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and voice of the archangel trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are asleep," 17, "then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds." Those believers who are alive, but not before those who have fallen asleep. It clearly says that those that have fallen asleep will proceed, will go first. And of course, Jesus will descend with a shout. Be interesting to see. I remember a conversation a doctor of theology had. Was talking about the rapture. Of course, there is a debate out there. I've got a neighbor that thinks the rapture will occur after 3.5 years, at the middle of the tribulation. I personally, myself, believe it'll be at the beginning. There's things that are in there that you look for. It's not specific, though. There is some debates out there, but I go with it at the beginning. But his point was, he thought, by the time, you know, you take a mass amount of people out suddenly in a twinkling of an eye, somebody's going to go, whoa, what's going on here? His take, and he had nothing to base this on, but his take was, and thought was, you know, there may be so few believers at that point with the way the world is going that they probably hardly will even notice. They may just be happy that we're out of the way. Now, that part I can believe. Now, that few people, I don't know. We're not told. We're not supposed to know. Fun to speculate, but give thought to it. Contemplate. But anyways, the rapture of the living believers. And then, of course, the reunion of all believers. 17 and 18 talks about this. The reunion will occur in the clouds. Now, when we looked at what Paul was talking about when he was in the wilderness and he was taken up, either in body or not in body, only God knows, he talked about a third heaven. And this is probably where we're talking about where the clouds, more or less a third heaven, and we'll have a reunion with all those that went before us. Provided we're the ones that get have the joy. Think about that. Have the joy of not having to pass through death. Christ comes, off we go. That would be nice. That would be real nice. Feel bad for those that ignored. Anyways, at which time we will be with the Lord. We're with him. Well, all the stuff we face now, what a change. What a change. And what an actual hope. No wonder Paul keeps talking about, you know, therefore comfort one another with these words. Because we get caught up in this world and what's going on. And I mean, you can get pretty frustrated. I know I can at times. And then I get mad at myself. And then I start another problem. As I said, Paul talked about, we are to comfort one another with these words. So that's why I talked about today. What the future holds is nothing but joy for us as believers. As believers. But now, as we've studied through Bible, what we've often heard, and we were in the Old Testament not too long ago, when we did the minor prophets, often talked about the day of the Lord, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and those often talked about the day of the Lord. Well, Paul expands on that. Day of the Lord, 5 through 11. Let me read it. This part, as obviously titled, the day of the Lord. Now, as to the periods and times, brothers and sisters, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is coming, just like a thief in the night. I love the take of the thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I love that concept because the world is going to think there's peace and safety. They're feeling good in their own selves. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. Now we have to pause a moment to think back. We just went through John, the Gospel of John, and Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. I'm sure you remember this. And those who become believers in Jesus become light of the world also. And Paul is talking the same sense here with the light of the world. We're not in darkness. Let's see, where did I leave off? Darkness. 6. So then, let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, once again, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. So, going back to that, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to say. I mean, he spelled it out pretty good. I like the end where Paul says, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. He's acknowledging that they are already doing this, and he's encouraging them to keep going, keep doing it. Because the pressures of the world are pretty intense. Now, Day of the Lord, the actual beginning of the Day of the Lord is the day of the tribulation. I say it's at the rapture, which is at the beginning of the tribulation. And it proceeds through the millennial kingdom. So it's a stretch of time. The millennial kingdom is 1,000 years when Christ will reign on the earth. Now, Paul doesn't cover that here, but we know that ourselves through all the other teachings that are out there. So, like I said, that's continuing through Jesus' second coming and the millennial kingdom. Now, this first coming is in the air. He does not touch ground here. He's in the air, and we meet him in the air. The second coming is a different story. You know, the first coming is to take out those who believe in Jesus. He's taken his people home with him. The second coming is totally the opposite. And those that don't believe are not going to have a very good time at the second coming. But that's for another time. One of the key things is it is not for us to know when this is going to occur. If you remember back in Matthew 24:36, and I printed that out for you too, Jesus says, but about that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone knows when that day will be. We like to speculate. We have certain people out there that like to predict things, and then as it passes through, it's not correct. kind of makes sense. Anyways, a lot of people with their thoughts out there, but we have scripture that's telling us flat out. And it's not for us to know. And like I said earlier, verse 2, he's coming like a thief in the night. Now, a thief doesn't, probably shouldn't even have to say this, kind of, he doesn't announce that, hey, I'm coming to your house tomorrow night at 10 o'clock or something like that. You know, it's going to be a shock if somebody comes. And that's a great example. Great, great example. The only experience I know of, and I've never had anybody come into my house, but my sister and brother-in-law, he was in the Air Force. They had Michael, their oldest son. He was just a baby in a crib. They lived at Wright-Patt Air Force Base in Dayton, and they had housing all along there. And middle of the night, my sister gets up. She heard Michael, and she goes. They had the bedrooms were upstairs, and then the living part was downstairs. So she gets up, goes down the steps, goes to the fridge, gets out a bottle, and she's coming back through. She's like, "Where's the TV? You know, things are moved around. So, well, what's going on?" So she goes back upstairs. And she gets Bruce, her husband, said, "Did you guys have a party last night or something downstairs?" Well, it ended up, two guys had broke in and were in the process of stealing stuff when she came down. And they were thinking, because of Michael and the babies, that they just left, because the front door was open. Well, they found out later, they finally caught these two guys, and they found out that they had went into another couple's place and actually killed the two people. And they're thinking, because of Michael, the baby, and of course God was watching over them, they are believers, that these guys just split and left. But when they caught them, they had some of their equipment still, some of their property or stuff in there. You talk about a startling scare. She still talks about the fact that she walked down and through and didn't even realize and back up and, you know, whoa. But anyways, like a thief in the night, they're not going to announce. They're just going to come. Well, Christ is going to come. He's not going to announce. We'll suddenly hear a trumpet and a shout, but that's all going to happen, as they said, in a twinkling of an eye. That's fast. Anyways, the world will be thinking they have peace and safety. Then sudden destruction, verse 3. Light versus darkness. Talked a little bit about that. Believers are not in darkness. Now, some people that they'll think about this, well, I can't sleep at night, you know. I don't want to be caught sleeping or stuff. Well, it's not talking about that. It's probably it's talking about not staying true in the Word, not living for Christ day in, day out. You know, go to Sunday, pat yourself on the back, and do whatever you want through the week. That's not the case. Same with the fact of being sober, being knowledgeable in the Word and what Christ is talking about and the life that we are to lead. We are sons of light. Like I said, Jesus proclaimed that in John, or through John. John reported that. Jesus' own words proclaimed that he was the light, of the world. Be alert and sober. Verses 6 and 8, be in the Word, following, studying the life of Jesus. We are assured through Christ to not feel the wrath of God. Now that could bring joy to you in a heartbeat when you really study the scripture in the Old Testament. When God's wrath came, it was not pretty. I mean, people were in the wilderness. They were rebelling. God opened up the earth. They're gone. It's done. And if you look at the book of Revelations, which someday we probably should go through it, you know, this whole group of people that, you know, Jesus's love, well, Jesus has love, a lot of it for us, just as God doesn't want any one of us to perish. But we have a choice. Well, when you get to Revelations, it's not God, it's not Jesus's love. When he pours out the bowls and stuff, it's judgment time. And they're getting what they chose. Don't want to face the wrath of God. So anyways, there's the hope we have as believers. It's a great day. It's a great thing to have. He's done so much for us. Now you notice in the so what, there's one thing. And I left it all blank for you. Have to make you pay attention. It's pretty simple. You'll understand when I say it. I hope. If I taught this right, you'll understand this. Bottom line is, do not get caught napping. We all have a purpose. And again, I'll touch on it briefly, what Maris said and Greg said about the people that are around us that have influenced our lives and stuff. What a joy that is. But also in our own lives, we are doing that, hopefully, for somebody else. And that's where we need to stay focused and work, representing Christ and bringing glory to him. No boasting about ourselves. Boast about Christ, what he offers. So do not get caught napping. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much for the people that you've put in our lives, the influences that they've had. I can think many in my own life that have been just a blessing to me, just helped me through so much stuff. We take a moment really to remember Jerry and what he did in each of our lives. What a joy that is. But there's so many others. And then those in scripture that you utilize, such as Paul. And we can look at his teachings and help us encourage ourselves as we move forward through this life. And the hope we have in you. We just praise you and thank you for that. And we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.